Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, today we come to 1 Peter 3:15, which is a wonderful text that gives us three keys to effective witness, three necessary qualities that will render our Christian witness more effective. And I'm convinced that every true child of God wants to be an effective witness for Christ, wants to be involved in personal evangelism. We all know that Christians are called to this, and yet I think we would all have to agree that at least most Christians find this very difficult. We're often intimidated by our own lack of confidence, and we are sometimes confused by differing styles of evangelism and advocates of different styles of evangelism. And we are no doubt sensitive to those who have been harmed by ineptitude. We probably all know stories of people who have really been turned off to Christianity because of the clumsy way that somebody tried to witness to them, and we don't want to be guilty of that. And so we're thankful that in this section of 1 Peter, we find some very practical help. Peter, by the Spirit of God, is going to tell us what are three components of effective Christian witness. And I think this will be of interest to every radio listener. So thank you for joining us on this Friday, January 17. And thank you for helping us with the finances necessary to keep teaching God's Word on this station. Here's the text. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Okay, what would I call the three key ingredients to effective Christian witness from this text? Well, the first one is courage. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And as I will show you, that has to do with receiving from God the courage that is necessary, which for many people is one of the biggest obstacles to not only to effective witness, but even to witnessing at all, even attempting to witness. Now, there are always some people who don't seem to be intimidated by anything. They have that kind of personality, and so this doesn't bother them a bit. So if that's you, then you can listen for somebody else. But for 90% or more who are hearing the Beacon Broadcast today, this is you. Now, why do I say that that statement refers to the need for courage? But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. It doesn't sound like that at first glance. Well, we have to understand, first of all, the context. And that's what makes this a statement about courage. The verse opens with that conjunction, but, which is not only a connecting particle, but a contrasting one. And remember that we've just been looking at the theology of persecution in verses 13 and 14. We saw that it is not going to be the everyday lot of most Christians, verse 13, but it is a genuine possibility, verse 14, and the section concluded with an admonition against fear, right? Verse 14, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but, now our text, verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. So this is verse 14 closes with an admonition against fear and does so with a quotation from Isaiah chapter 8, and verse 15 opens with the alternative to fear. How do you not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled? Well, here's how. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. The alternative to fear is to focus on God or to focus upon Christ. And the instruction, therefore, is to sanctify or set apart. Sanctify means to set apart, to consecrate. Sometimes it has the idea of to make holy, but that really means to set apart unto God. So sanctify, set apart, consecrate. When God sanctifies us, he makes us holy. When we sanctify God, we regard him as holy, and we make him the object of supreme reverence. So sanctify the Lord God, or sanctify the Lord Jesus Christ, or sanctify Christ as Lord, depending on how this should be understood. But the whole idea is you focus upon who God is and submit to his sovereign authority, and do that in your hearts, in your inner self, in your intellect, your emotions, your will. And what this is a deep-seated confidence that Christ alone controls all events. He is Lord. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And this is actually a reference to Isaiah 8:13. And so what it's really doing, and I don't have time to take you through all the steps, but it's identifying Jesus Christ as Jehovah. There's several texts like that in the New Testament, and this is one of them. If you look at what is being quoted in Isaiah 8:12, the last part of verse 14, and this reference to Isaiah 8:13, you'll realize that there the reference is to Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here, the same statement is applied to the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's called the Lord God. He is Jehovah, which is a way of reminding us that he is the supreme ruler of the universe. We know that he is. To call him the Lord Jesus is to acknowledge that. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is ruler. He is God. That's why he is ruler. Because he's God. He sits upon the throne of the universe. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He rules this universe. And he is the Savior of all who trust in him. Now, to set apart, to consecrate the Lord God in your heart is to develop by your focus upon this truth, by your meditation upon Scripture, by prayer, it is to focus upon this truth that will give you a deep-seated confidence that Christ alone controls all events. That's the way you deal with fear. We're talking about how to be an effective witness. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. But don't let fear of man keep you from speaking when you need to speak. Don't let intimidation by other people keep you from rendering a witness for Christ. You need courage. Where do you get it? Focus upon who Jesus is. He is Lord. He is Lord. He's risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's who he is. The day's coming when the whole universe is going to acknowledge that, but you know that now. If you're a Christian, so focus on that. Set him apart in your heart as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, ruler of the universe. Recognize that he controls everything. He rules everything. Recognize that nobody can harm you unless he has designed it and therefore has a gracious purpose in it, in which case you can't stop it, can you? And you wouldn't want to, do you? So focus upon that, and that will help you deal with your lack of courage. This will enable you to possess and maintain the inward courage that is needed to be an effective witness for Christ. So as we live daily in the light of Christ's lordship and view every circumstance in the light of Christ's lordship, we shall be ready. This is talking about being always ready. How can you be always ready? Well, you have to start by being constantly aware of who Jesus is, and that everything and everyone, every person you meet, every person that would exercise any human authority or control over your life is in the hands of the one who died on the cross for you. They do nothing except what he allows them to do, not one thing apart from that. He appoints what they can do, what they can say, what they can control. I'm really amazed many times at how often people that clearly have animosity toward me because I am a Christian, because I'm a preacher. I'm a pretty public Christian, and I preach and am known in my community, and people hear me on the radio, and a lot of people don't like the things I say because they don't like what the Bible says, and so there's animosity. I'm amazed with what I know to be a measure of animosity toward me from certain people in our community, how that doesn't seem to have translated into actual harm on my behalf. I am certain that there are people in our community who at times have thoughts that they would love to do me harm. Why haven't they? I don't think God's let them. I don't think my Savior has let them. That's really the bottom line. Some people are always looking at secondary causes. Well, if I, you know, I mean, I don't know what you do. For a long time, I kept a dog at my house, a good-sized dog, a German Shepherd. And that was for protection. That wasn't really so much in terms of people like this that I thought that would do me harm as it was to be a watchdog to guard against thieves when I was away and protect my wife when I was away. And then the day came when my house was broken into and the dog was locked in the garage, and I realized there's no way that dog can always be able to protect me. I can't rely upon that dog. And so when the dog died of cancer, we had to put her away. Hated to. She was such a sweetheart. I haven't replaced her. Been several years have gone by, and I've thought about it several times. Maybe it's time to get another dog. But I haven't. For one thing, I got a security system, which is, I think, is more reliable than the dog. It's always on duty and can call the police, and you know how those things work. And that's provided a measure of security. From a human standpoint, I don't know if my wife had been willing to continue living in the house after we'd been broken into if we hadn't got that security system. It really instilled a lot of fear in her heart, I must tell you. It's hard for me to relate to that because it didn't bother me the way it did her. But the thought to her that somebody could break in, they broke in our back door and came into the house, and it just frightened her. But as soon as we got that security system, she seemed to be fine. But I'm confident that Christ has protected us. The lady who lived in the house before us had been broken into several times. We lived there, well, we've been there 20-some years now, and I'm trying to think when this break-in occurred, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I've lost track. Maybe 5. But anyway, we lived there a lot of years, and people all up and down the street have been broken into, and we never were. Why not? Because the Lord didn't let them. And then when it served his purposes, he let them. But they won't do it again until he lets them. That's the confidence we need. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.